Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. I'm back. I'm feeling better. Matt, I know you haven't had a good couple of weeks here. First, Florida State lost their playoff game against ESPN, so they're out. And then fantasy football, another big loss for you. How are you feeling?
Yeah, the fantasy loss was frustrating, but at the end of the day, there really weren't a lot of moves that I could have made at that point of the year that would have moved the needle one way or the other. And I kind of, like we talked about it a little bit last week, where I felt like it was just going to purely come down to the matchups. And there were a couple matchups that I had going into the week. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be okay. Like, it's not going to be great, but I'm going to have a chance. Because I had Bijan Robinson playing Carolina. Where did you go to the game by chance?
No, I saw the tickets were super cheap when I actually...
Dude, you could have took your whole family for like $1.50, $2.50. They're selling for like 49 cents. You could have had a whole family affair for under $5.
I looked at them. And then the tickets skyrocketed, so they must have went viral after that post. They were like $10 a piece, and I thought, that's not worth it.
Oh, that's a little bit too steep for you.
I'm not going to pay for minor league performance at prices like that. The dollar would have been worth it.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, they're playing Carolina. Carolina's clearly just hating themselves. Robinson's going to have a great game. What's he do? 11 yards, a fumble. Doesn't even register a single point.
When he lost his fumble and went to 0 points, I thought, oh, this is going to kickstart him. Things are going to take off. He's going to get like 2 touchdowns, I bet. And then nothing else happened. It was so great for me.
So then I was looking, Antonio Gibson for the Commanders. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Robinson's out. He's going to be the guy. He's going to get all these extra carries, extra touches. He's going to have a big game this week. What's he have? 15 yards. It's going to be 8 points. Like, what an asshole. Now I'm thinking to myself, surely this is going to be going back and forth between Jaden Reed. I was like, do I play Jaden Reed? Because he's always like a wild card for me. Over the last couple weeks, your Packers guy.
I know. It's like
I picked him up, and it's always like I play him, and then I hold my breath, and it's like, oh, touchdown, oh, touchdown. It's like he's gotten me double-digit points. I was like, all right, I'll be good. Like, the matchups seem okay. What comes back to bite me? Friggin' Jordan Addison that's averaged like 3 points a game, goes off for 29, and where's he sitting? Next to me on the bench because he hasn't performed for the last 3 weeks.
See, the Reed one scared me because I've been following the Packers so close. And the thing that frustrates me, and I've been telling you, that since Watson got injured, the Packers, even when Watson is in, let's be honest, the coaching game plan is so transparent that like you don't even need Connor Stallions to break this down for opposing teams. They zero in on one playmaker, I feel like, and the coach is like, all right, this week we're going to hammer Watson. So once I saw Reed start to get like all these touches, I thought, oh crap, I'm screwed. They're going to get behind because all the Bucs have to do is stop Reed, which they started to focus on. And the Packers just kept feeding him and feeding him. He's scoring on like our end of rounds and things. And I thought, this is going to be awful for me. My guy's going to take me down because my team didn't perform either. I hated the way that the Raiders-Chargers game was kind of handled. Josh Jacobs had a quad injury that they put as questionable, and then they were like, yeah, he's going to play, and then he was such a late scratch that I couldn't pick up his backup, and I couldn't do anything because it was like it happened in the afternoon, like evening. And had I known that he wasn't going to play earlier in the day, I probably would have gambled on the Raiders defense because honestly, I would have needed to make up points. Like I would have known in my head, I'm not going to have a good running back performance with Eckler and the Chargers being so crap lately that I didn't even want to play him. And my other running back, Jerome Ford for the Browns, he had like a hand injury and he was questionable, but that was a Sunday game. So normally I'm like, I'll get the news on him before, but because it was a short week, I couldn't do anything with the Raiders because I couldn't pick up the backup who was available in our league. I think he got like 15 points. My team, if I would have been able to make the moves that I wanted to, even if I didn't pick up the Raiders defense, because with Jacobs being out for sure, I don't know if I would have taken it because I thought they were just going to ride it out. But I knew the Chargers had no offense with Herbert out. And I thought that's probably going to be a smart play. I talked last week on the show that I knew the Colts defense was going to be a smart play against the Steelers. They scored 15. I think the Raiders had like 25 in our league or something. So it would have been 10 points more. But it would have been closer to what my projected was for the week if I would have got the Raiders over the Colts. But
how do you logically look like, and even saying like you knew you were going to need to gain points, how do you look at what the Raiders have done this year and like, yeah, that's the team to gamble on?
Because have you seen the Chargers offense? I've been relying on Eckler all year, Matt. They don't even check down. That's not a quarterback decision. That's a coaching decision. Like Herbert is clearly being coached not to check down to Eckler. The coach came out and said he made some comments about Eckler going to be losing playing time. And to me, that's a desperate coach that's losing the locker room. Because why else would you attack your best player? And so the Raiders seemed like they've been on a little streak, a little run here, where they have the quarterback, the rookie from Purdue. And finally, I think Garoppolo's like healthy at this point. So I think the locker room confidence, it's not like, well, we got to play a rookie, he might suck. He's actually passing the ball around, which frustrated me because I, of all the guys I had in the game that I needed to actually do something, Davante Adams, they're scoring touchdowns left and right, and they're not even throwing to him. And I thought, well, they're gonna bench him, and it's gonna be like a 42-0 win. And I don't pick up the Raiders defense. The defense had, I think, 2 touchdowns. And I'm like, oh, my fantasy playoffs are ending right now with the stupid Raiders killing the Chargers on national TV. And someone during the game, I think it was like Richard Sherman or someone said, I don't want to call for anyone's job, but like Staley should be fired after this game. And it made me laugh because years ago, when Harbaugh first got to Michigan and it was clear that like there was some booster pushback and he really wanted to go to the NFL, he looked at the Chargers' position. Right. And at that point, like he had elevated Michigan to the point where I think it would have been like right after the Jabril Peppers thing where recruiting was high. Michigan was getting like top 5 classes. And I thought if Harbaugh jumps to the NFL, I know he didn't really win the Big Ten or beat Ohio State. He has Michigan in such a good spot right now that it wouldn't matter. Like I think that he'd be able to turn it over kind of like he did at Stanford where David Shaw could come in, keep recruiting going in the top 5. And then by that regard, there were already hints that the playoffs are going to be expanding. Even if they can't really topple Ohio State on the recruiting ground, they can at least be second and start making some playoff appearances. The Chargers didn't want them. And they put out like a PR campaign, I remember, where it's like, oh, the young guns, the young coaches and their young quarterbacks, like you need an analytics guy. Harbaugh really wouldn't work with Justin Herbert because he's like from Oregon and they run like a run and shoot, like spread type offense. And that's not what Harbaugh is. So like they made a big thing about why they didn't pick Harbaugh. And guess what? Your team has sucked. The Chargers have sucked. They've done nothing. So it's like, yeah, keep getting these young coaches, but they're not doing anything. Every time Harbaugh gets passed over for like some young coach, because that's what it seems like. Oh, the Jets. Oh, look what they're doing with Saleh. They're going for the defense. Like they don't need Harbaugh. A team is garbage. Oh, we're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't matter. The team is still garbage. He gets hurt because there's no line. And it's like, oh, there goes our whole game plan, our whole season. So not to the fact that I'm like friends with Harbaugh or something, but it just cracks me up every time. Now the NFL's back and they're like, well, the Chargers might reach out to Harbaugh. And if I'm him, I have a grudge against him because they talk negative against him. Like a lot of these NFL teams, they talk negative about Harbaugh. The Vikings were the other one. because they said that Stapleton guy was against him, and a Michigan booster, which of all things, more infighting. That's like the typical Michigan thing. So to have a guy come out for the Vikings, it's like, well, we got to go with the young analytics guy. They said the same exact thing. It's almost like they have the talking points where, well, we know Harbaugh is going to be a good NFL coach, but we don't like the way that he does things. We need like a young guy like the Dolphins have. It's kind of what it seems like these franchises are going for. But even the Dolphins wanted to fire that guy a year ago. Like, do people not remember that? Just because it's like working, and we don't know how far it's going to work because they haven't won a Super Bowl. I don't even think the Dolphins have made even a decently deep playoff run. Heck, Baker Mayfield had the Browns in the championship game. None of these other young coaches have done any of that. It's all old coaches like Andy Reid, right? Kyle Shanahan, because his dad, he floats around. He still makes poor decisions and loses the Super Bowl every time, right? So, like, that's my thing. That's why I was willing to bet on the Raiders, because I knew the Chargers were so bad. I couldn't really talk about it on the show because I knew, like, when I saw that they were available, I thought that's going to be a crazy thing. And funnily, in our league, people were complaining to me as the commish about a trade that went through where the top team in the league traded the Raiders defense for the Browns. And if he had never traded that team, he easily would have won. Instead, he got upset in the first round. And I just thought, like, stick with your guns. The Browns, you're trading a Raiders defense. It seems like they're starting to turn the corner. And the Browns have lost their quarterback. I know they're scoring high, but there's no way the Browns defense scored like 25 points or whatever last week. Because I don't think his team scored that much. He lost actually because the last play of that game, he needed AJ Brown to have one more catch. And it was a pass to him that got intercepted. So I can only imagine the pain when you're like one catch. Because I had that earlier in the year. I lost by 1 point to someone because Dobbs dropped the ball out of bounds. And I was like, you idiot. Catch the ball and we win. And he didn't. That was a double hurt because the Packers needed that catch and he didn't deliver. And then that's what happened. I'm looking right now to see what I think he played the Browns defense. I didn't watch too close. Yeah, Browns had 14. The Raiders had 25 that game. And maybe it's only one game, so you never know. But that's my thought process. Chargers, you got to look, because if you're listening to this, Matt's not in the playoffs anymore, so I don't care. I'll give him some runs. When you're looking at teams and you're thinking, where am I going to make up points? It's the playoffs. You don't know if your guy's going to sit. I almost got burnt last year because Derrick Henry was a healthy scratch where they didn't scratch him. They played him, but he got like 5 carries, and I almost got screwed. It just didn't matter because the rest of my guys went off. So if I would have lost from that, I would have been very mad at Derrick Henry. That's why I didn't pick him this year, because I'm thinking, I need a guy that's on a team that's desperate for either wins or whatever. That's why I stuck with the Raiders. I have a lot of Browns guys because I thought there's no way these guys are going to be winning their division, right? There's no way they're going to be resting their guys the last 2 weeks of the season. And maybe they will, and I'll get burnt. But I got Jets guys. I have Kittle, only one Niner. McBride, though. That's the best guy. If you need an Irish guy to play tight end and he's available in your league, which he shouldn't be at this point, he's like the 8th best tight end. So if you have an 8-man league, you should. If you're in a smaller league than that, then that's embarrassing. Why are you even playing? But McBride, 20 points last week. I'm hoping he keeps his run alive because since Murray came back, like I said, he's been on fire. The only reason that's keeping me alive is him. I don't know. I have to make a move at kicker, I think, because the Browns have not been scoring points with Flacco. Luckily, they had that late touchdown to Amari Cooper. All my guys scored very late in their game. It was almost comical. Like, they're giving me a heart attack, give me a heart attack. 2 minutes left in the game, touchdown. I'm like, thank God. But that's my thing. I hate how the NFL messes around with the injury report, especially if you're gambling. Because like we're doing fantasy like in like a whatever league, you know, if you're like doing daily fantasy or something like that and you don't know who's going to play, I'm assuming they let you change your lineups late. But I saw a report where it was like 30% of people don't even set their lineups when they're, or reset their lineups when they're doing daily fantasy, because they probably don't forget. So that's easy money for the bookie, right? You pay, you set your lineup, probably like at lunch at work or something. I'm imagining people are doing this. Go do whatever. Josh Jacobs gets scratched. You had him Thursday night for whatever points, and you lose automatically because you never pick another guy. You never reset it. And I saw the report, and because it was people like looking for more regulation, which I don't want more regulation. I hate that kind of stuff. But I thought, if people are dumb enough to gamble on it, and they were saying that some people put like real, like large amounts of money, and then they never set their lineups or never reset them. It's like, why? Because it's the hook. They're like, oh, I bet him if I bet it, I'm not going to mess with it because I don't want to jinx it. That's probably what people are thinking. That's how I would imagine it, right? But
yeah, likely.
Anything else you want to talk about your team?
No, we're on next year.
I thought you had me with the Buffalo game, dude. But the Buffalo, they were like, we're not going to pass the ball ever. It's like,
well, then it was like, watching that game, it was just like, it started just spitting rain. I was like, oh, this is great. They're not going to be able to throw the ball now.
But Dak had 5 points for me. I thought, I'm screwed.
But see, the thing that watching that game that really threw me off was I didn't know how to handle Diggs, because with Dorsey as the coordinator, he was averaging close to 20 points a game for me. And then when he got let go and Brady took over, I was like, well, I don't know how much he's going to change, how the flow is going to, like, what's that going to look? Because all the emphasis was, oh, Josh Allen just has too many turnovers. He needs to be more conservative. So it's like, so they're not going to force him the ball. Well, he had, like, over the last 6 games, we had 6 points, 6 points, 6, 8, and then the outlier was 19 with the bye in there. So I was like, I just don't know if I, like, teams are just like double covering him or doing whatever to him. But it was like, he's just not getting the opportunities. And I thought, if I take him out and I put Addison in, does that, and then that's the game that it's going to be like, oh, I'm going to throw 6 touchdowns to you.
Well, the last thing that I had, well, because Dak, the Cowboys were so embarrassing that luckily I only had one on my team. That's like the top guy, I think he had Lamb or someone. And like, I look at the points projection and they're like scoring like 10 under. And it's like, that's what you get for trusting Cowboys. Like, if Sam Howell was playing any better, he only scored 8 points. I could have put him in, but he's fallen off a cliff too. So it's like, I got to ride it out with the Cowboys. They're going to be awful. I don't know what's going to happen. I have Eckler. I'm probably going to have to play him because I don't know what else I can do if Jacobs is out again. I'll be playing him and a bunch of crap guys. That's my team going forward. But the last one that I had that I want to talk about, not really in regards to fantasy, but the replay. You had Calvin Ridley. The game was pretty much over at that point. He would have had to have his best game like of his life to beat me. But late in that game, he gets a touchdown to make that game like competitive, right? They replay it. He catches the ball. He doesn't touch the end of the goal line. And they're just like, nah, not a touchdown. I'm like, what the heck are they doing? And even the guy in the booth that was like on TV, he's like, I don't really see where he juggles the ball or anything. And they even couldn't even put it on there. Like, why? And then near the end of the game, they're like, yeah, this game's boring and a blowout now. And I'm thinking, and they were like making condescending comments about the league. And I thought, yeah, I think it was on NBC because they're probably thinking, we paid for a competitive game. We had a chance for a competitive game. I think it would have been 17-14 or something like that. And instead, they get Ravens get the ball back. I think they score. It's like 23-7 then. And that's the end. So instead of letting the Jags back in the game with a clear touchdown, the league's like, nah, we don't care. Like, just take it off. We don't give a reason for why. They're like, he's on the goal line, but they freeze framed it. He's not on the goal line. And that's why I think that they should just have Maybe they should just have a booth of super fans, two fans from each team, one male, one female, right? Would it be like 64 people in a room, and they each have a buzzer, and then it's in New York, so like you're watching it in real time, and they can just all vote, like, oh, yeah, it's a touchdown. And then if there's a tie, then you have like a celeb picker, like someone that kind of doesn't really know football, like some actress or something, so that all the pressure's on them and they can just be like the deciding vote. But I think most times
they should take someone with severe anxiety and be like, you have to make this decision, and just watch them freak out.
They could just do like the, what's a game, college game day has like all those feel good stories. Like you have someone that's like just a big fan that's like down on their luck making the call of their life. So they get all the hate mail after the game. Because that's why I want celebrities to do it. Because like people would just start talking trash on them, and then you know they'll like fire back on Twitter or something, be like, yeah, you don't even know how much pressure it is. But you can just double down. Like I think if you had reps from each team, you don't even need an official, because like you don't even have to understand the rules. It's just random fans that are there. It's like a TV sitcom. People come in and you're like, yeah, I'm in New York, I'll come watch a game. And you're like, yeah, you're up there, you're gonna vote. So you're there and you're just like, yeah, that was a catch. And I think most people would get it right. Like I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to watch a replay and say like, is he in bounds? Yeah, all right, catch. I think college should do the same thing. Like if it's, you got to be careful though, because like everyone in the Big Ten hates Michigan, so I don't want to get in a scenario where everyone's just overturning all of our replays. So we can only pick maybe blue bloods. We need like fans of like the top teams, like Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, USC. Who else would I put in there? Oklahoma? Can't put Nebraska in there anymore. Maybe Texas. Maybe. Probably not. Just get like 10 fan groups and then just put them together in a room and then let them vote and see. That way you don't have too much hate on one side and everyone's just there, especially like for younger, like not younger, but like smaller programs, newer programs like UCF that no one really hates because they've only been around for a little bit. And then they'll make the right call. You don't have to worry about officials. Just get fans in there. Give the fans what they want. Kind of like American Idol. But it's like real time. Because you can't do it open-ended because people could just make bots. But if you have a controlled system where each person gets one vote and make it public, unlike the college football playoff bullshit, make it public so that everyone knows how you voted. Like, bro, what the hell? You thought that was a catch? I'm giving him credit. It was a hell of an acrobatic catch. He should have got credit for a catch. Because I look back to there was that one I sent you like early in the year. You probably don't remember. But Michigan's defensive back made a crazy jumping, tipping interception. And they said that they couldn't tell if it was his hand or their wide receiver's hand that touched the ball. To me, it looked like it was his hand. And they said that the receiver was out of bounds. So they counted it as both hands touching. So they said the ball was out of bounds. They didn't give him the interception. But to me, even if that wasn't Michigan, it was such a crazy catch. And you couldn't tell that it was the receiver had his hand on it. Didn't look like it at the one angle for me. I would have gave him a catch. Because he was in bounds, he made the catch, awesome interception, let him celebrate it. Don't take it away because you don't know for sure. Well, we know how they do that. Play stands. We don't know. No. Stand by your vote. That's my new thing after watching the Ridley thing, because I thought, in other circumstances, this call could really have affected our game. Like if, let's say Cooper didn't get that late touchdown, it could have came down to that overturned touchdown bullshit and it would have cost you the game. I would have been laughing. But what if you bet on him catching a touchdown? Right? That's what really gets me. Because you can't add gambling where they have prop bets like, does Ridley score a touchdown? Yes or no? And you bet $50 on it. And then they score the touchdown and they're like, never mind. He didn't score it. Right? Some books were like, they'll say like, oh, that was controversial. We're just going to give everyone their money back and not take the bet because they don't want to get murdered. That's what it is, right? Every time I see it's like, oh, what good by them? I'm like, number one, that's good publicity. Instead of paying for an ad, they're getting their name in every newspaper. And number two, they don't have some crazy guy showing up trying to murder them. Right? Because they got to them, they get ripped off. They're not going to be mad at the league. They're going to be mad at the bookie. Right? That's what you can't be pushing all this gambling crap and then still make the wrong call. That's why I think if they had a panel of people just together making the right decision, like the college football playoff, Matt, with an eye test, it will just work its way out. Everyone can agree that's the greatest way to settle any football dispute. Even though former running back,
what if you want to kick right in the neck?
Even though former Steelers running back Mendenhall doesn't believe the people sitting at home should make the call, I will say that that is probably the best way. Just,
you're just such an asshole.
Why you don't believe that, Matt?
At one point, not anymore.
Did you like my quip about ESPN beating them in the playoff game, Matt? Because that's basically what happened.
Oh, yeah.
They went up against ESPN and they lost. And now every day. Because remember how last week I said, hey, what's this crap with ESPN saying that Florida State is over? Like they're snub. And then Norvell came out and was like, we're not over it. What are you talking about? It was the headline, one of the headlines today I read. I was like, yeah, of course he's not over it. That's his job. He gets a bonus probably for making the playoffs, and it's probably a large bonus, right?
Yeah.
And now they're like, nah. Fake news, guys. Sorry. Well,
even, I like that the politicians now are even weighing in on it. They're like trying to hold the committee accountable because it goes back to it's never been done. They can justify Jordan Travis lose, like getting hurt, but it's like all these other arguments, because now it leads into this situation where they're trying to say how important these bowl games are, and you have these top players that are either hit the transfer portal, or they're opting out of play of bowl games, and they're trying to say, oh, this is still important. And you look at these NFL games, you know, for as bad as they said, oh, Florida State's not deserving anymore because they have a backup quarterback. Look at how many teams in the NFL right now are dealing with backup quarterbacks. So please tune into this Thursday night game that we're airing on Prime to watch these two backup quarterbacks fumble the ball for four quarters. Like, it just completely goes against everything that they've said. And if they just come out and be like, hey, we thought Alabama would make us more money, and they were just straight up honest about it, we had a chance, like, we're the ones picking, and we picked the money. Just say that's what you did.
See, that's the one thing with me, like I told you, you got it. That's how you pick your fantasy guys. Which guy is starting a new quarterback on a short week that he just found out he doesn't even get to practice? That's the defense you take if you have the knowledge ahead of time, and you're not just waiting for the league to make some announcements of like, will they have surgery? Oh, yeah, he does. Thursday. We made the call Thursday. It's like, no, you didn't. You made that call like Monday, but you didn't let us know until late, guys.
But I think the funny thing is now at this point, you don't put Florida State in the playoffs, but they're like, but you get to play in the Orange Bowl, the prestigious Orange Bowl. Like,
we played in the Orange Bowl against you guys a few years ago, and no one cares about that game except we like to joke about Jabril Peppers being out. Absolutely no one would even remember that game because no one gives two shits about the other Bulls.
But it was like, now they're trying to be like, oh, well, Florida State's now in this damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because if they happen to beat Georgia, it's, well, Georgia didn't care. The SEC doesn't care when they're not in the playoffs. If you do win, or if you lose, then it's, well, you didn't deserve to be in the playoffs anyhow. Never mind that you have your quarterback out, your running back's now declared, both top wide receivers. Like, there's a slew of players now that are opting out for the draft and focusing towards the NFL draft, and I don't blame them for it. There's nothing beneficial at this point that could happen, and the only thing that really could potentially, like, that they're playing for is affecting their draft stock. And I think when you look at guys like Jared Verse and Keon Coleman and Benson, they have a full season body of work to put on display that they can focus on staying healthy and preparing for the draft. I don't have an issue with that. But it's don't sit here and after making a mockery of not getting into playoffs and then have the audacity to say, oh, well, they didn't deserve to be in anyhow if they lose to Georgia. Well, Christ almighty, half the team's opting out now.
Well, that's the one thing that annoys me with these bowl games is last week I was sick, so we didn't really go through the bowl game picks, but I wanted to do it. And then every time I went to make my picks, I'm getting alerts like, oh, so-and-so is opting out. Oh, Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman. He literally has no Heisman moment, Matt. That's what gets me. He's not even going to play in the bowl game. So it's like, here's a Heisman. Thanks for running the score up on Georgia Southern or whoever you played. Great career. Not to knock the kid, but like I've been saying, like they want to give Mike Leach's quarterbacks the Heisman, even though they're putting up big numbers and winning at a place like Washington State. They wouldn't give it to Minshew. And they're like, oh, well, he's just a system QB. But no, LSU's guy can go in and run the score on a bunch of nobodies, lose every big game he's in. And they're like, Heisman, awesome. Do we get to see him play in a bowl game? Nah. Like, the Heisman means nothing. The awards mean absolutely nothing. I don't care. They do it too early. They just need to get rid of the bowl games because you put the picks in. I think my picks are doing pretty well right now, too. I was going to look at them before here, and I'm like, getting fired up about NFL stuff and people getting the wrong call and like ruining their fantasy playoffs because I've seen people comment about the Ridley touchdown, and I'm like, yeah, that would be annoying, right? Not annoying for me, but I think it's funny. But for the bull ones, it's like, hey, you have to, for a lot of them, if you're still doing like the old school one, you have to put your bull pick in before the games, and that's it. So like I've been in a pool for a while. I won it the 1 year. If you listen to the show for a while, I can't remember what year it was. I think it was one of the Clemson years or Bama years. But we knew going in, like, all right, here are the last picks. So if you want to be a winner, you have to have like you need your pick to win. And then next thing you know, you're just waiting. You're just waiting. And then here, it's like, you made your pick. So-and-so just decided he's not playing. I picked LSU, I'm not going to lie, because I figured, oh, this would be good. Heisman against Iowa's defense. I already saw how that happened, right? I saw it happen in the Big Ten championship game where you had JJ. He's out there. He wasn't even like high scoring in that game, and they still controlled it. So I knew Iowa had no chance against just a semblance of an offense. Because to be honest, the Big Ten offenses suck. But now we don't even get to see it. So who in their right mind would want to watch that bowl game? Because I don't. I just don't care. And I don't understand. I know people are watching them. They have to be getting the ratings. But like some of these, it's like Ohio was 10-3. They had to play a 6-6 Georgia Southern, or 6-7. I guess it would have been 6-6. Maybe they were 9-3. But it's like that was a blowout. They won by 20. App State played Miami, Ohio, another like lopsided record. But Miami, Ohio, like how do we know how good these teams are? I figured App State would beat them, so I had that pick right. New Mexico State,
but that game was in like a monsoon. So that kind of, I think, threw that game too a little bit.
But see, most people picked App State. Like, that's what I'm looking at. Like, I'm looking at the favorites here. The upset was Fresno State beating New Mexico State. I think a lot of people were sold on, like, the Auburn game. And maybe Auburn just sucks. I don't know. I had Boise. I tried to pick Boise upsetting UCLA, and they had a good game plan. And then they just kind of stopped doing anything. And they just started throwing screens. And I thought, what are you doing? So they deserve to lose that game. I had no quips. I had Western Kentucky. They won that one. So right now I think I'm what, 6-2? I don't even know what other two I had. Jacksonville State, they almost blew it. They were a heavy favorite. Texas Tech, they killed California because I knew Cal who even is playing for Cal? They're 6-6. That was a bowl game of two crap teams. They're like, why are they even playing? Texas Tech had some pep because they're trying to build for next year. Cal has nothing. I don't know anyone that would have picked them.
I did.
You picked Cal?
Yes.
Why?
Because for years I've gone with the Pirates team. And you know what they do? Let me down, just like they let Mike Leach down. R.I.P. So I was like, no, I'm not doing it this year. I will not be hurt again.
I don't even like Texas Tech because of the way they did my man Mike Leach dirty. They never paid him. And then they try to give him like tributes and stuff. So I don't like that. But I looked at it and I thought, Cal sucks. They're an ACC school now. They're not going to get it done. They're going to choke in an unbelievable fashion. And that's exactly what happened. That's why I kind of went against UCLA. I thought, they're in the Big Ten. They're bound to be upset with some stupid decision. Chip Kelly was there. There was like no one in the crowd. So the celebration, they put like a green screen on the field and they like zoomed in really tight. And then they made one mistake of like zooming out. And you could see that there was absolutely no one watching this small group of people celebrate on the field. And I thought, this is so embarrassing. Why is this on TV? Florida A&M was another one that got screwed. They had to play like 6-6 Howard. And they almost blew it, but they were 11-1 or 12-1. It's like, why are they playing in this game against Howard? How is that fun for anybody? That's why I've been an advocate of, all right, we have the smaller conferences. No one watches their bowl games in realistic terms. If people say that like no one watches Iowa and they get like $3 million a game, no one is, and that's what these bowl games are getting, like a million people. And they're like, look, it's a good number. It's like, nah. If Iowa doesn't get a good number, then these bowl games don't get a good number of people watching. They're all on ESPN, so you have to have cable, and cable's dying. I wonder what, I'm going to look it up real quick to see if we have numbers for this early thing. But my take on it is we're seeing the end of them. I think that what they need to do is come together, not like what they're doing now. The highest rated game was 2.38 million, the UCLA Boise game that was on ABC. That is an embarrassing number. If the Big Ten put a game on during the regular season that was on ABC and they drew $2.38 million or viewers, they would be asking for money back. ESPN would. Right? That's like going back, the Army-Navy game had 7 million people last week. Now, the highest rated bowl game is 2 million people. That's such an embarrassing number that it's on ABC that it's just insane. Like, I'm trying to look back through. Like, BYU-Oklahoma is a game on ABC that had a similar number. And that was at the end of the year when Oklahoma State was, like, in the championship run and BYU is kind of having a garbage season. It's similar to what USC and UCLA had. But again, those are two programs that were completely out of it. And like on the other hand, Michigan and Maryland had 5.38. And that game ended up being kind of close between like a whatever playoff team. Ohio State and Michigan State had 3.5 million on NBC. And that was a game that was up against Penn State. Or I guess it wasn't up against Penn State, Michigan. What game was up against? Ole Miss and Georgia that had 4 million. So it's like these bowl games are getting a million people or less. Half of them were under a million. Some of the rest of them were like right around 1 million, except for Boise State and UCLA and then App State and Miami. All the three highest that were over a million were on ABC. So the ESPN ones, they're paying millions of dollars for these bowl games, and they're getting 191,000, the 220,000. Why are we putting these on? That's my question. Kids don't watch them. There's nothing for the kids to play for, so they're opting out. Trying to do picks, but people are going to stop doing picks because I think looking at the numbers of the bowl polls that we were in, we went from having a couple of years ago, just based on like the number of things, I think we were over like 200 people in the bowl pool. Now I looked and I want to say it was like 50 40. The other one had like 20. And I'm like, people just don't care anymore. So if you can't get the excitement because people don't want to do the pool, because people are just not playing, and it's not even fun because it's just like a crappy gambling thing, I just don't understand what the appeal is supposed to be. Like, they can talk it up and say, well, you're in the Orange Bowl, Florida State. It's a good thing. And if things go right for you, you could still claim a national championship. I saw ESPN put out an outline of what needed to happen for them to be able to claim it. And I'm like, no, all they have to do is win. They don't need you to tell them what needs to happen for them to claim the championship. They're undefeated. They claim it. Very simple. They had like a six-step process. It's like, oh, someone needs to quit drinking. Oh, did you go buy alcohol today? Yeah. It's like, well, you failed step one, buddy. So for here, it's like, Florida State, well, they can't really claim it if Michigan wins. If they can't claim it, if Washington wins, it's like, why not? They didn't play them. They're both undefeated. It should just be a split national championship. I've said that the entire time. You don't need Michigan to lose. They said that the only way Florida State could claim it, and I could be paraphrasing, I don't have all the steps down. They have to beat Georgia. There was supposed to be some other strength of schedule things they were saying, where like, Bama had to lose to Texas again, but they had to beat Michigan because so that they're undefeated. So the two undefeated teams had to lose in the first round. Both Washington and Michigan, I think, both had to lose. And then Alabama had to either, I think, lose to Texas again so that the Florida State could jump them in the computers.
It was Alabama had to beat Texas because then it shows that they beat each other plus adding a loss to all the undefeateds, and Florida State would be undefeated for the year. So they would be fine.
See, the one computer one that I saw was that Texas needed to win again because their computer ranking is lower. And if Florida State beats Georgia by higher than what Alabama did anyway, then they'll get the jump on the SEC schools. And they think Michigan will be out because they lost to an SEC school. So they basically what they were saying is one of the computers that has Florida State close, they need the SEC to beat Michigan to drop the Big Ten schools. But they need Bama to lose again to then drop the SEC so that all the Big Ten schools and the SEC schools fall. And because Texas and the Big 12 is just as weak as the ACC, them having a loss versus Florida State not having one should be enough to get them to jump, is basically what it was saying. I don't know. I don't look at all the computer models. I think there's like, 10 selectors? I don't care about the computer selectors. No one else does. Like, UCF got one. It was funny. They were undefeated. That's probably the same exact one that Florida State could get. All they have to do is win and hope that Michigan and Washington lose. But like I said, I don't even care. Just vote them in. Like, the AP doesn't have to do anything. Just vote a split championship. Right? Maybe it's too hard for the numbers to be worked out. But if the AP kind of just colludes and everyone's like, yeah, we know that the computers are going to pick like the winner of the playoffs, because it's either going to be like, if it's undefeated Michigan or Washington, all they have to do, the AP, is then just vote Florida State in if they're undefeated. What's the difference?
Honestly, at this point, the only thing that I hope Florida State beats Georgia, just because they have a pretty impressive win streak going right now. And I want to see that continuing going into next year, just so when the start of the year rolls around, I can hear about how they're justified in not having a high-level ranking. Because right now they have the two top quarterbacks in the portal interested in transferring in, and I think it's just going to boil down to which one they feel more comfortable with.
Oh, they already put the preseason early rankings on ESPN, and I think they had Bama at 1, and then they had Michigan all the way down at 4, and I thought, you don't even know if JJ is coming back, because I think a lot of Michigan's defense is coming back. So you have basically what could be a national championship. We don't know. If Bama kills Michigan, then yeah, they could be number 1 if Melrose coming back. I don't know. I don't know what their roster situation is, but I don't understand. Like, if Michigan has most of the guys return again, why would you start them at four? Like, Ohio State has an unknown at quarterback again. I think they had them at two. Why? Like, there's did the past 3 years not happen? Like, you don't even know if Marvin Harrison comes back, maybe, but that's one guy. Michigan has shut them down. They shut down Marvin Harrison pretty much this year, and Ohio State needed a touchdown. They couldn't get it. They had three and top, what, first-round picks with Smith and Jigba, Olave, and who else did they have? Garrett Wilson, right? Three on the same team that couldn't beat Michigan. Why, just having Marvin Harrison, why would that be enough to get them the number two spot? Like, to me, that's the disconnect from, like, the ESPN stuff, where it's like, well, we had to put Georgia number one. They're the reigning champs for 2 years. It's like, all right, well, Michigan has a lot of guys returning too, and they've beaten Ohio State 3 years in a row. Why wouldn't they get the same benefit of the doubt? That's what really got me this past year. It's like, Michigan plays Ohio State at home. The entire year they've been behind Ohio State. Why? Ohio State had their best quarterback pretty much in their history, CJ Stroud. They couldn't beat Michigan. Why give Georgia the bump, but then also give Ohio State the bump for no reason? I don't get it. I mean, it helps Michigan get a chip on their shoulder, so I don't care. Maybe JJ's coming back. They're saying that Michigan missed out on having that Moore guy from UCLA, I think it was at UCLA, transfer back to Michigan because JJ didn't know if he's going pro yet. And I'm like, all right, who cares? Who cares? If they can get a starting quarterback transferring in, it seems like a new quarterback is announcing a transfer every single day. If a quarterback doesn't want to wait to see how the playoffs go, then that's on them. I don't care if a guy goes to Oregon. What has Oregon done? Nothing. Lost to Washington twice. They're joining the Big Ten. Do they think they're going to just easily waltz into the playoffs next year?
I think, like, they just think just because they need, and this is the issue that I have too with this, is that what determines your strength of schedule? Where they rank teams. So when you put these overrated teams in and you overinflate because, well, that they play a tough schedule. Well, if you put your entire conference in the top 25 and then you beat on each other, you could say by the end of the year, oh yeah, they played a really tough conference. Well, no shit. You could, if you put Illinois and Rutgers in your top 25 and then you just piss pound them, then so be it. You know, you look at Ole Miss is always ranked so high. Why? They end up with five losses every year. With the exception of the year that they had like three NFL receivers on their team.
That's the thing too that annoys me. It's like, well, we got to give Georgia a bump for beating Ole Miss. It's like, why? What has Ole Miss ever done? Like, do they even win a big-time bowl game? I don't remember. I don't really care about the bowl games. But it's like, they're not in the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. I get it. It's the same thing Michigan makes out whenever they get the bump over Penn State. But to me, I'm not really worried about Penn State. And I've been telling people this, and I get attacked, dude. Probably because I know so many Penn State fans.
Why would you ever rank them in your top 10?
Well, it's like,
put them at 23 where they belong.
It's like, why wouldn't you be afraid, Matt? Why wouldn't you be afraid of playing Penn State? It's like, they suck.
Why? Because they haven't had an offense ever. They got called out for just throwing 50-50 jump balls. I had some, don't just tell them to throw the ball up there.
I had some guy attack me because he said something about Michigan. Oh, since Michigan's had the Connor Stallion thing and they've been ranked in the top five, Penn State, that's the only reason Penn State can't beat them. If you go back before that time, Penn State beat them most of the time. I said, buddy, that's clearly wrong. They have the same winning percentage against Michigan as they do basically against Ohio State. And the best terms I can put it, you had a better chance of seeing Tony Gwynn get a hit than you have to see in Penn State beat Michigan or Ohio State. Like, that's how embarrassing their record is. So it's not just the past couple years with Connor Steins. What the hell are you talking about? Like, I even went back, and it, I think based on my math, I don't have the numbers written down, because I'm like, I'm not going to argue with stupid. Like, all you have to do is look at the numbers. I'm not making them up. And then, whatever, I just post them. And then they're like, well, you go back and through, and it was like Michigan has like 6 upset wins against ranked Penn State. And I think Penn State had like 2 or 3 against Michigan. It's like, yeah, Michigan wins even if they're the underdog is what I'm looking at here. Even when they had Joe Pa going all the way back, even with Franklin. And I told you, I was at the game when Brady Hoke outcoached James Franklin in a dead year where Brady Hoke was getting fired. There's no reason Franklin should have lost that game ever. Don't tell me about sanctions or whatever. Michigan was a dead man walking. We lost to Maryland. We had lost to Rutgers. I don't know if it was the same year, but like in the 2-year span where Michigan's program was dead, getting blown out by Notre Dame, getting blown out, losing to Maryland, all this stuff, beating Penn State. How? How? Like, there's no explanation for it other than James Franklin just doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So that's why I'm not nervous about Penn State. But I'll take the bump. I know it annoys you because every year they're going to be up there. And now you're going to get a tenfold, Matt, because I've already heard people say that USC is going to be another top 10-ish team next year. Why?
Yeah.
They lost their entire team. Why are they going to be a top 10? You have Washington, even though they're going to lose a bunch of guys, they'll probably be top 10 or around there. Oregon?
No, I think they'll put them in the lower end.
Because they can't have 6 top 10 Big Ten teams, Matt. Because you're going to have Michigan, Ohio State. I already told you they were 2 and 4. I think Penn State was a little bit behind.
They'll be ranked in the top 25. They'll be ranked in the lower end.
Who? Miami.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're always there, and they're getting they're flipping recruits from Ohio State. So I got to give them props, Matt. They're flipping guys from Ohio State, and I love it. I love to see that.
And they have Clemson bumped up higher than what they should. Like, I think Clemson's middle of the road. Now, like, they're not.
But they deserve, they won 2 natties. I think they deserve a chance.
But
with Dabo there, though.
It's changed.
It doesn't matter. They have a championship winning coach.
To Oklahoma.
They have a double championship winning coach. He should get the benefit of the doubt until they have like multiple 8-win seasons in a row, right? Because I think Bobby Bowden and Paterno both had the same type of bump even late in their careers where it's like, we're going to rank you high because we know you're a great coach. Like, we've seen it happen in the playoff era, so it's not like they were a split natty with someone else that were just happened to be undefeated.
But I feel like when you look at that Clemson defense, that was really the thing. Even in those national championship runs, their defense was playing so phenomenal that it kind of bridged some of the gaps when the offense stalled. And I feel like you're definitely seeing a difference that they still have a high talented roster. So it's not like you're going to have this massive drop off, but there is a drop off because where the offense has made mistakes, the defense was able to bail them out. There's no defense there to bail them out now. Like, Venables just had them playing on such a different level. And I think you're seeing that now with how his team's playing in Oklahoma.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Matt, but defense doesn't win championships. That's why Florida State didn't make the playoffs. They made that very clear. You need a dynamic.
You have to have a paper mache quarterback that only does well against FCS teams.
You need to have a dynamic offense, Matt, that puts up major points and wins all their games. That's what you need.
No, you don't even have to do that. You just have to be in the SEC, and then they'll hype it for you. Even if you're not good, you'd be like, well, hey, you're Vanderbilt. You have a Whistler. That's okay. Here's a primetime slot for you.
Well, I noticed recently the fake news came out that annoys me because it's all anonymous. So just like how Connor Steins had a bunch of anonymous coaches like speaking wisdom about how hard it was and how they were going to lose to Ohio State, and all those anonymous coaches then just shut up when that didn't happen. Now they're coming out saying that anonymous coaches say that Alabama's the real number one team and that Michigan's not going to match up with them. And I'm like, really? not anonymous sources. You just found these anonymous coaches that all think that Alabama should be the number one team for no reason other than the controversy of other coaches literally voting them, what, out of the playoffs, Matt? So, like, we already know what the coaches did, but now they're going to go ahead and say that they're really the number one team. I'm like, really? You guys just found these guys. Coaches voted them what? They had them at four, the coaches poll. They had Texas out. So they had Michigan, Washington, Florida State, then Bama fourth. They're tied with Texas.
Which was correct. To me, that was the correct ranking.
But the same coaches now are saying that they made a mistake. Bama should have been number one. The other schools, they don't have the personnel to match up with them. It's over, Matt. It's over. You don't have to watch. Michigan's going to lose. Then they'll play Texas again because Texas beat them, so they'll have a little bit of bump over Washington. And then that's going to be it. And if that happens, I'm all right, let's see it happen. But don't use it, the fake anonymous coaches. Anytime I see an article saying, like, anonymous sources say, I think the guy just made it up. Like, in this day and age, I just assume that they're just lying and they needed a story. Maybe I'm wrong. The one was very specific. It said something about, like, Penn State. And I'm like, if it's not Penn State's coach here, then this guy's literally just making up to make it seem like Penn State's coach is speaking. And I have a hard time believing that, like, James Franklin is just the anonymous source. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's how he spends his time. He's like, I'm not going to get anything done here today. I better call in ESPN. Let them know that I think Bama's number one. Because, like, you know that they're doing it just because I didn't see any other anonymous stories about, like, the other teams. They were literally just doing it to, like, kind of shadow slam Florida State. And I'm like, but this is unnecessary. Only on, like, ESPN and, like, The Athletic or whatever. It's like these crappy things. Like, why would anyone pay for your articles where you're just making stuff up? I don't get it. Don't get it. Just like Bruce Feldman keeps saying, like, he thinks Harbaugh's going to the NFL again. It's like, why, buddy? You're wrong about the Stallions thing. You're wrong about this. Like, you can't say on one hand, Michigan coach is not that good. They need Stallions to win. They're never going to beat Penn State and Ohio State. Oopsie. Now he's going to the NFL, Matt. Great coach. Stein's not, didn't need him. We're just joking about that. Like, it's like, all right, well, who's telling you to say these things, Feldman? Or wherever? I don't even know where the hell he works for. Has to be, because they were like, he was in deep with, like, the Big 12. So he has to be, like, an Oklahoma guy or something. Probably just being pushed into SEC territory now. But I just don't care. Win the games. And actually, just play. If they want to have some weird early top 25 next year where it's going to be mainly Big 10 and SEC schools, fine. But do what I've been saying all along. Get rid of all the bowl games. All the other schools should just get together and say, either we're going to have our own tournament and get rid of the bowl games and have, like, claim our own championship, national championship. Because there's nothing stopping another conference from getting together and saying, hey, Mac, hey, whatever the other ones even are. Because, like, I know some of the, because, like, that's where you got to be careful right now. Because right now they all get a little piece of the playoff puzzle. But, like, the AAC is close enough. Actually, no, because SMU is leaving. They have Navy. But, like, the AAC, the Conference USA with Liberty, and the MAC, maybe the Mountain West, they're kind of on their own thing, though. So it'd probably be the Sun Belt. I think you could probably talk to Sun Belt, Conference USA, the MAC, and the AAC to get together and have their own four-team playoff. And then they claim themselves national champions. I think the Mountain West is going to be a harder sell because they're going to try to make a scheduling alliance with, like, the Pac-2 or whatever. And they're not going to join. And the Big 12 or whatever is not going to join. And you could just say, like, hey, we're not doing the bowl games anymore. We're just going to do our own. And I'm not saying a four-team playoff. I'm saying you make it like an 8 or 16 team playoff where you just undercut the other playoff. Don't try, if they're not going to give you an automatic bid, don't try. Work it out with like the CW or something, because ESPN is going to lose how much money getting rid of all those crappy bowl games. And if they don't get a cut of the other playoff, where you could be crowning Navy national championships again, and Army, and going back to the old school, where the NCAA, because it's a group of conferences, they're going to allow it in the record books. And what's the other teams going to say? Like, oh, undefeated Liberty, that doesn't really count. They're not going to be able to uncount it. It might look ridiculous if an 8-5 team wins or something. But if you take your top two teams from each conference, or maybe the top from each conference and then some at-large or whoever has the best records, because like right now you would have 11-2 SMU, 11-2 Tulane. You would have, what else would we have here? Conference USA, you'd have 13-0 Liberty, 10-4 or 10-5, whatever they were, New Mexico State, which they lost. Now we have the hindsight. MAC would have 11-3 or 11-2, whatever they were, Miami, Ohio, and then 11-2 Toledo. And then the Sun Belt would have 11-1 James Madison and 11-2 Troy. So you would have 8 teams in there that are all 10 win teams in their playoff. And because it's 4 different conferences that are bigger, and maybe some years you don't have that, but you just have a real 8-team playoff and start it. They could start it this week, would be the first round. The last weekend would have been the first round. So then this week coming up, Christmas weekend, you have a final 4. So you're getting it in ahead of the other playoff. And then like set it up for New Year's Day, your national championship, like at noon or something before the other games are even played. And I guarantee they would get a lot of viewers. And with that playoff and their national championship game, because like ESPN puts the other one on like a Monday night at like 9 or something stupid, you're going to be on New Year's Day every year at noon when the other conferences don't have any bowl games anymore because these other conferences just canceled them. Are you going to watch a national championship game between 2 11-1 schools, or are you going to watch half of Iowa play half of LSU at noon? You're not going to watch that game. You'll watch the national championship game. Right?
Yeah.
To me, that's the only way I think they can fight back.
In playoffs, but I think...
I mean, they have the division, other playoffs.
There needs to be wait, because I don't want to hear about how... If you let Georgia and Alabama in, then there's always going to be like an Ole Miss, a Missouri, a Texas A&M that feels like they're getting slighted in this. And I feel like what I want to see is make it be... first and foremost, your conference champion, and have it where those guys, because if you're not good enough to win your conference, then I don't care how good your team is. If you can't win your conference, you don't deserve to be in a bowl or to be in the playoffs.
That's why I think these other conferences should just undercut the other playoffs and take it, get out of ESPN, because ESPN controls all the bowls right now. So just cut them off, go to Fox and say like, look, would you be interested in doing our playoffs, like $10 million or something? Because right now, only one conference, whoever gets the big playoff spot, gets the playoff money. So like if Sunbelt's not in it, they don't get it. This year, who was even in the game? Who did they pick? Was it Tulane? I'd have to look at the bowl matchups. But they only pick one conference team to be the sacrificial lamb. Oh, no, it was Liberty, right? They're playing Oregon.
Yeah.
So it's Conference USA. So Conference USA is going to get, what, a couple million? What did we say it was? 5 million or something? That I said, like, Florida State's boosters, if they really wanted to, could have opted out before the bowl game and just claimed the national championship, because then Georgia can't prove that Georgia's any good either. And if Alabama would have lost, I think that would have hurt the SEC prestige even more.
But see, here's the fact that you don't know. We already have our Connor Stallions in, so betting money says Florida State's beating them.
They have a sign stealing guy they hired?
No, we picked up Marvin Jones Jr. He came back home from the portal.
Oh, that's where Alabama hired Michigan's old linebacker coach. I don't know if we talked about this last week. And not one major company has mentioned, like ESPN or anyone, has mentioned about how that could be a decided advantage, knowing that he hasn't coached anywhere. He was just let go this past year. And Saban literally only brought him on because, like, if they wanted him, he could have hired him earlier. He didn't. No one wanted him. They only hired him because they're playing Michigan. So, like, when I hear other teams, like, complain about, like, Stallions, it's like, that dude was breaking down film on his own. You're just doing, like, what Alabama did is 100 times worse. Now, obviously, Michigan probably doesn't care because, like, they didn't hire the guy back. Even when Partridge got fired for whatever, Michigan could have easily hired him back. He wasn't doing anything. Michigan obviously thought he wasn't good, right? So they're like, we're going to cut our losses. Bama, there's no, in no world is a linebacker coach not good enough for Michigan going to be good enough for Bama, right? They're just not. There's no way to say, yep, great hire by Bama, other than great hire. We hope he gives us intel. If he's fired after the game, I'll just laugh. Because it'll be like, yeah, watch the linebackers suck and they'll fire him and everyone will be like, yeah, awful hire. It'll be like, yeah, they clearly hired to try to cheat, guys. But no one's going to say that because it's legal cheating. Just as like Connor Stallion's thing, it's like him hiring guys. The undercover thing, like I think like that would have been proven by now. Because that was another thing Feldman said. He came out because I've seen a lot of his stuff trending lately. He must have been like, hey, my viewers are down. He said that he has a secret, top secret scandal at one of the major schools that if it came out would change college football forever. But he doesn't think it's going to come out. And it's like, buddy, if it's that bad, why are you sitting on it? Just like your anonymous sources story. You're just making it up. Because otherwise, it would be the hardest hitting scandal, you would publish it because you would want the clicks. Either you know it's made up, and you're pushing rumors. Because I forget what some of the rumors were. It's like some Deion Sanders stuff, possibly. They could have been just more Michigan stuff, or someone said that there's like gambling going on and point shaving at the top schools that they can't like prove. And it's like gambling's everywhere. That to me, if they came out more point shaving stuff, I wouldn't care at all. Right? Someone was saying that maybe family members are betting on the team's games and they're trying to blow teams out. Cause like Ryan Day, like last year, he specifically kept CJ Stroud late in games to run it up to try to get him the Heisman. And it didn't work. And kind of like what LSU did this year with Jaden Daniels. And it's like, all right. Maybe what it'd be funny if like Brian Kelly was betting on the Heisman odds for Daniels and running the score up with them. Like that wouldn't be a scandal to rock the sport for me. I think it would be funny and kind of highlight everything that's turning wrong with the sport. But like, what are you going to do? Like Colin McCord leaves Ohio State because he doesn't care. Syracuse offers him NIL. He goes to Syracuse. Ohio State fans are like, he couldn't cut it in the Big Ten. It's like, Syracuse is still putting guys out there. Isn't there quarterback for the Giants right now, their old guy DeVito? Like, the ACC still has NFL quarterbacks, guys. Just because Ryan Day, for whatever reason, ruined McCord doesn't mean that the next quarterback Ohio State gets is going to be better. But it goes back to the bowl games. Like, everyone's opting out. Who cares? Why should I watch this? Oh, LSU's not playing Iowa. They're playing Wisconsin, right? Who the hell is Iowa playing? Oh, Iowa's playing Tennessee. Another equally weird game where it's like, who's going to play? I kept thinking they were playing LSU because that's what everyone wanted. But of course, the powers to be couldn't make it happen. Instead, we get to watch 10-3 Iowa play 8-4 Tennessee. Why? No one knows. Iowa would have the distinct advantage. Instead, a comparable LSU 9-3, which is why I thought LSU was playing Iowa. Nah, LSU gets to play 7-5 Wisconsin. Why? Wouldn't it have been two better matchups to have two teams with closer records play, Iowa and LSU, and then Tennessee and Wisconsin? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, I guarantee they picked Oregon to play Liberty because they think everyone in the media thinks Oregon is awesome and that Dan Lanning's great. And if Liberty beats them, I'm almost going to laugh. That's a 95% people picked Oregon, Matt, in that game.
I didn't. I won with LU, baby. I want to see them raise a banner.
You want all your teams to get natties this year without playing in the real playoff?
That would just be hilarious.
Well, that's what I said. If Florida State would have opted out and Liberty would have opted out, they could have just played each other for a guaranteed national championship, Pat. Because then they would have had a data point against another undefeated team late in the year. One selector, I guarantee, would have picked that. But because the bowl committee kind of like puts them in place, like, and Liberty, of course, in Conference USA would never pass up their guaranteed check, right? But they put those together.
The thing that really pisses me off about all of this is that where's the ACC commissioner at in any of this? Because
he's at the CW headquarters, Matt.
But see, if it was Michigan that was left out, the Big Ten would be pitching such a fit.
Oh no, they'd be loving it, Matt. Remember when Michigan was the only team that lost the bowl game that one year?
Well, they would leave them out, and then it would be they'd be pushing for Ohio State. They'd be like whining about getting Ohio State in.
Oh, that's why. Remember that year? I think that was the same year. Ohio State got left out, so the Big Ten was bitching about it the entire time, and then the entire conference won their bowl games. And I said the same thing. Like, for the first time ever, the Big Ten's going to have their bowl matchups make sense. They're not going to be like playing as the underdogs everywhere. And of course, they almost ran the table, and Michigan should have, but they shit the bed because whatever. But it didn't really matter. Like, I didn't even care if the Big Ten wanted to defeat it because I didn't care. But they used that as a thing, saying like, "See, we're better than every other conference. You can't leave us out," and they haven't been left out since. Even if Michigan loses, that's why it's funny when it's like anonymous Big Ten coaches say that Michigan sucks. It's like if it was Ohio State, they'd be over there rubbing Ryan Day's back, giving him a pat on the back, saying like, "Go get him, buddy." But it's like Michigan. Nah, they suck. They beat us by 150? Nah, it doesn't matter. They still suck. Ohio State, oh, they're way better. It's like, why? Why are the other coaches like that? That's why I don't care if Michigan leaves. Like, if Michigan was like, if they had any balls, they would just go ahead and leave and contact Florida State and Clemson and say, look, let's start our own conference. Because all it takes is another blue blood, right? ACC doesn't have one right now. So if you put pressure on them leaving and Notre Dame, people are saying Notre Dame would just join the Big Ten because they just don't want to put up with Michigan's bullshit. It's like if Michigan and Florida State got with like Clemson and Miami and just cut the fat and just got like an East Coast thing going, I guarantee you Penn State might even come, even if Notre Dame's leaving. Not that I say we need Penn State or whatever. They could be one of the guys backstabbing, but you get the conference like that together, that's putting together a ton of money and not sharing it with like the Indianas, I guarantee they could pull some other schools from, especially like the Big 12 and stuff too. They could just cherry pick who they wanted. And that would be it. Perfect. A conference of champions, you may say. Add Stanford and then they probably have most championships every year. A random nationwide conference of eight teams that play each other and then beat up on the Mac or something. That'd be funny, right? If they played, because think about it, the eight game schedule right now for the SEC bumps all of their records up. If they had an eight team conference where they only had a seven game conference schedule and everyone else was cupcakes like Notre Dame's schedule, Notre Dame has what, 10 wins a year built in. If you had a high-powered conference like this with big historic names like Miami getting them, Miami and Florida State, Michigan would probably be ranked every year, right? If they pull in Penn State, adds another team in there. So you have half the conference ranked every year, depending on who else they get. Stanford, maybe. They just need them so that they can like win swimming championships and stuff. Tennis, equestrian. Like, you really raise the profile of the conference. And then that's it. Just make the playoffs and then make some noise. Because like if they did NIL right, it would be over. That's what I think scares everybody. Because, like, even Chip Kelly came out and was, like, talking about NIL. And I'm like, yeah, he's in the Big Ten now. He wants one big 64-team power league. How do you decide who's in? How can you tell App State, like, nah, you've been investing money for the past decade or two. You're never going to get at the big boy table. Sorry, guys. We have a hard cap at 64. That's why I think if the smaller conferences just made their own national championship and got it on NBC or somewhere, CBS, that doesn't traditionally get bowl games on New Year's, it could be a win-win because people would be confused, dude. If that conference can get it trending and people are like, hey, I know Boise State, they just won the national championship, that's awesome. No one would even think twice. No one would even think twice, right? Because if the 64 teams leave, that kills the basketball tournament. And I'll be honest, I don't think a power basketball tournament is going to move the needle. So if all the other schools band together and you're saying, hey, you can watch a fake tournament with like North Carolina and Kentucky playing every single year. And it's like, all right, and Duke, and there's no more surprises. There's no more Loyola, Marymount, or whatever, or whatever the other schools are, Wichita State making a run. Like, that's never going to happen ever again. But there's another tournament where there's like 200 teams in it, and it's awesome, and it has like historical schools. You think of like Gonzaga, and like maybe the Big East schools are there, like UConn, because UConn would be left out. So, like, you can't say that UConn wouldn't win the Natty. They could just call the other power conference their national championship. And I think more people would watch that one. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't know. But that's my last thoughts for the week. The bowl thing has me so fired up after the NFL's stupid review stuff that they still can't get right. I don't know. It's just annoying me. Anything else you want to talk about?
I want to give a shout out to Harding University, the Division II national champions, running an old, outdated, antiquated style offense, rushed for 6,000 yards on the year, and only completed 26 passes.
See, that's why I would like to have a smaller tournament, because I think some of the smaller schools would run more different offenses. They kind of have to run spread now because they're competing with like bigger schools all the time. But if your focus is on, hey, we're going to play one or two major matchups a year, probably be 11-2 if we make the playoffs or whatever, we can run whatever offense we want because we don't care if we lose to like the big guys. We don't care if we lose to Alabama as long as we can go ahead and beat SMU or I guess SMU's in the ACC now, but like unless we can beat like our Troy or whoever we're going to see in the playoffs, that's all we need to do. But you're telling me there's hope, Matt, for an offense that just runs the ball to win the national championship?
It's going to happen.
If Michigan wins the championship, so many people would be broken in the media because they won't know what to do. Right? And if JJ comes back next year after winning the Natty, I don't even know what people would do. Would Michigan be preseason number one? Nah, probably not. Would they make it Bama?
Yes. Absolutely they would.
Even the reigning national champs with everyone
back? Because we're going to find out tomorrow who signs with the early signing period.
Well, even with the transfers, I think they can come in and practice as long as they're enrolled.
But I think what tomorrow is a big day because this is the top high school prospects, and I think they want to try to swoon those ones to sign on the line first so that you know for sure who's there before pulling from the portal because some of those commitments are so fragile that if you look at some of the quarterbacks, it's like, well, we're going to take Ward as my quarterback. Well, that may scare off your committed guy. Where if you sign, then you go, ha ha, gotcha. And now we're signing our portal quarterback.
Well, that's why I'm worried about, like, well, I'm not worried about it, but I'm surprised that, like, Oregon's still getting the hype because they're bringing guys in, right? And they're doing all this early signing period. But they're getting all these transfers. Like, how are you going to sign a good high school class with that? Like, do they have that much NIL money that's going around? And I don't, having all these, like, mercenaries, that hasn't worked for any school yet. The only schools that have kind of been able to do it have been like the Georgia, Bama, Michigan, how Florida State's been doing it, where you're just taking key guys that are already good at other schools. You're not paying for like an entire new offense from the transfer portal. Like, you have to have other vets. You're just plugging and playing other veterans as like backup slash Michigan has like two of them on the line right now. And with injuries, they're going to play in the playoffs. So we'll see how they do. But the line was already strong to begin with. So like plugging in a center or a guard here for 1 year works. Plugging in a receiver works. Plugging in like a defensive back or a defensive end. Plugging in like an entire defense hasn't worked. Even Colorado had the entire new offense come in. Didn't work. You still have to develop the other guys.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like, Oregon coming in, maybe I'll be wrong, but like, they had trouble winning the Pac-12 the past decade. How are they going to beat Ohio State? How are they going to beat Michigan consistently if Harbaugh stays? That's the big thing, because like, that's the one thing Bama doesn't have to worry about. Nick Saban's so old, and the NFL doesn't want him, that he's not going anywhere. Harbaugh, NFL wants him. It's just which team is going to give him control. The Bears? The Panthers? If he goes to the Panthers, that's just an idiotic move by him. Because they're like sabotaging themselves, right? I would think that he's smarter than that. Maybe I'm wrong, though. We'll see. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it.
Yeah, went a little bit longer on the books. I think we've been longer the past couple weeks, but just because we cut it short last week, I wanted to make sure we got some of that time back. So, like I said, thanks for the downloads. Got to holiday. Wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Hopefully, weather and stuff is good. You can watch some football, relax. Good luck to everyone that's still in the fantasy playoffs. I know I'll be trying my best to make a run. I'll fill you in next week. Thanks.